Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every
recording
heart that
in
I
progress.
Ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to this live on podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. Well, we are here for all of your community, mental health, love, relationship, and attachment needs, and everything else in between. For those that would like to participate in the show, if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, you can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B2B, P-S-Y-C-H, b2bpsych@gmail.com. As always, we'd like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL for allowing us to have this platform to talk about mental health issues, community issues, love, relationship, attachment issues, contemporary issues, and everything else in between. But as we always say, any of the comments, suggestions, ideas, or perspectives that you hear on this show are not supported or represented by Marshall University or WMUL, are not supported by any of their sponsors, affiliates, or supporters. These are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman. So as we always say, as awful as this sounds, take any of this advice at your own risk. And while this may be therapeutic, as Dr. Chapman likes to remind us, this is not what?
This is not therapy, ladies and gentlemen. We do hope that you actually see a psychologist, social worker, mental health counselor if you want that type of therapy, or maybe you're just a music therapy person. Go get some good vibes, but don't try to sue us. We're just having conversations. We just happen to be psychologists while we're having conversations, and this is not therapy.
Exactly. This is not therapy. So, again, we are here to hopefully make you think, hopefully to inspire, but most importantly, to go above and beyond what you hear and what you hear us say, and have your own conversations and talk about some of these serious issues that are happening in the world, in our community, and everywhere else. So again, as we always say, let's check in. How are things in sunny California, Dr. Chapman?
Yeah, man, things are good. You know, I'm moving, so that's a little bit stressful. It has its own stressors, but California's still good. You know, I'm realizing that some of y'all got 90 degree weather and things like that. And it's just something I can't relate to. You know, I'm not in the area where it's 90 degrees. So, you know,
I tell you, the universe has its favorites. And I guess you have been chosen. Woe is us. Woe is us. Things are good here. It's getting a little hot. It's been rain. It's rained the last few days quite a bit, but this is still almost heaven, West Virginia. So
I've been thinking about y'all. I had something that came across my feed on Facebook that said, for all those of y'all that are complaining with the 90 degree weather, remember that this is what's coming in 17 weeks. And it was snow. And I was like, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. Yeah. But yeah.
you ain't no good. You ain't right. You ain't worth, as the old folks say, you ain't worth a plug nickel. You ain't no good,
buddy.
But yet and still, we still love you, my brother. We still love you. Again, as for those who are listening, we thank those who continue to listen. We have taken this show coast to coast. I am still here in West Virginia. Dr. Chapman is in California, so we are being heard from the West Coast, to the Appalachian Mountains and everywhere else in between. So we are doing good work. Hopefully we are getting the word out. We're getting people to think about a lot of these topics and issues we're talking about. Again, as we always say, b2bpsych@gmail.com. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about shows, book writers, programming, please, by all means, let us know. We've been talking about a few things, talking about shaking the show up a little bit, you know, adding some other layers and stuff that we'll probably announce as the show goes on towards the end of the show to let you know what we got in store for you. So things are looking good. Things are looking up.
No, I think we should at some point try to figure out what day our first show was on. Because I was thinking about it as we were talking earlier and thinking like, oh, we didn't, you know, I know COVID is just continues. It's like there's no period to the end of that sentence. But it's been at least a whole year with that. So we should try to think about how long it is so we know when we have anniversaries and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's been well over a year we've been at it. It's been well over a year. I think all the shows, and for those who would like to listen to past shows, again, you can go to one of our platforms. That's mahoganyloveandlight.podbean.com. That's mahoganyloveandlight, all one word, .podbean.com. Listen to old shows. There are a lot of other shows that we have there as well. A lot of the panels that we have on love and relationships there. A lot of brother to brother shows there that you can listen to. But it should be on Mahogany Love and Light.
I don't know if the first one is going to be there because you didn't have that going on the first one. I don't think.
That's right, we didn't. It's been a while. I'm pretty sure it's probably in the archives here somewhere though.
Yeah,
we can probably find it here. But yeah, it's been a while. It's been a couple of years. We've been going strong for a couple of years. You know, COVID slowed us down a little bit, but kept on trucking.
Yeah,
most definitely. So the topic for today is greatness. And Dr. Chapman brought this up as a show topic, and I thought it was an amazing topic and an amazing idea to sort of tease apart and talk about what does it mean to be, what is greatness? What does it mean to be great? What does it take to be successful or be great at something? And how do you define greatness? How do we as individuals, as groups, as cultures, how do societies define greatness and success? And most importantly, does the way with which you look at greatness and the way you define greatness, is it at odds, is it congruent with, or is it at odds with how society views what it means to be successful and what it means to be great? So we'll throw it out to you, Dr. Chapman. Where should we start with this conversation?
That's a good question.
Is there a difference between success and greatness? Maybe a good place to start. But where would you like to start?
Well, you know, as an introduction to the listeners, I was thinking about it because the Olympics were on, and I was thinking about how much as a society we really, I understand us celebrating the Olympics because we have a little bit of national respect around it, but also there's greatness. There's like, you know, wanting to see people accomplish at all this, this, you know, phenomenal levels. And I was just, you know, wondering about how people really get super excited about those things and what drives that. But I think if I'm thinking about defining greatness, I was thinking about that earlier also because of some of the things we were talking about. And, you know, not everybody defines greatness in the same way. And I don't know that it has to be defined in the same way. I think rather greatness and success are the same is another interesting question, because I would think that they're like cousins, you know, where there's greatness, there's going to be success, I would guess. So let me try to just break it down one at a time. I guess, I don't know that they are the same, but I do think that in order for you to be great, you're going to have successes. And I think of success, I think one of the best definitions around about I've heard, and it's from Napoleon Hill, I believe. And basically it's success is when someone is working towards, purposely working towards a worthwhile purpose and is seeing results from working towards that purpose. So rather that's a mother who's raising their child and has decided that is the goal that they want to follow. They want to be the most exceptional mother they could be, or the CEO that's in the workplace that's decided that what they wanted to do was work up the ladder, or the athlete that's in the NBA that's decided that's what they wanted to do. Somebody who has decided intentionally, this is my goal, has worked towards it, continues to work towards it, and gets some results in that arena, as opposed to people that just move. Like, I think that we're all goal-driven people, but I think things get in the way in terms of like how we move towards goals or not. And it doesn't mean we stop moving. But if we're not moving towards our goals, we're moving towards someone else's goals, and we might be having success in those goals, but it's not really success from my definition, because you're moving, you've been moving progressively, but you've been moving progressively towards something that's really insignificant to you. It's significant now because society says it's significant, and whoever dangled that carrot in front of you has decided that it's significant for you, but you've never made that decision consciously. So therefore, that wouldn't be a success in my book.
Okay. Does there have to be a certain level of adversity for success to be success? What do you think?
Yeah. I think that, like,
if you're chasing something and it's easy, is that really a success? Or does success come with a certain level of struggle, a certain level of adversity, a certain level of sacrifice?
Yeah, I think that's where we start to get in the difference between success and greatness.
For you, for me, success is situational. I think that there is a difference between the way I define success, the way I view success, and the way that society sees success, what it means to be successful.
Yeah.
I think your identity, your personal orientation, and I think level of consciousness plays an important part in how an individual defines what it means to be successful and what it means to be great. And what greatness means. I think it all depends on your level of consciousness. This was something I thought about before. And cool. I saw our homeboy RJ Ronald Jones post something. Shout out RJ. He posted something a while back. He said something like, you know that your level of consciousness or awareness is raised when you realize that a BMW and a Toyota will get you at the same place if you drive the same speed. So I think that one's level of consciousness, your identity, how you view the world, plays an important part on how we all view what it means to be successful. From a capitalistic perspective, it's always all about how much I have.
Right.
The goal is the car, the house. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. Mine is on the difference between greatness and success. I know it's all in the eye of the beholder. I don't see greatness and success as the same. Okay. I think that, look, let's just use an example of for where my mind is going, the NBA. And not about materials, but let's just say, going back to that original definition I'm using, success is having a goal, working towards that goal, whether you got to that goal or not. So let's just say the goal was to get into the NBA. There's plenty of people in the NBA. You're in the NBA, you're sitting on the bench, you've been a success. You've reached your goal. You're not great. You're successful. To me, there's a difference.
Now, Kwame Brown may say something different. He said there is no, I like the statement that he made. He said there is no such thing as a bust if you make it to the NBA, even if you never play. If you never play, there's no such thing as a bust, because only 1% of people on the planet achieve, you know, less than 1% or whatever it is, achieve that goal. They're like, what, they're like 350 people on planet Earth that get the opportunity to make it to the league. So even if you never play a minute, the question is, can you be a bust? That person is a success and great and has achieved greatness even if they never get to play, because they've done something that so very few people have done or will ever do.
All right. Well, I think that's where this is where it gets interesting. I think we might have a little bit of a difference. I don't want to get Kwame after me, man. Like, I've seen his videos, but I don't think he's a bust.
Yeah.
I think he's successful. Don't think he's great. And I don't necessarily think greatness has to do with how you compare to other people. But if we use the realm of NBA, there is a standard. So to say that everybody is, I do think that everybody has a potential and everybody can be successful. And it's based on this idea of what your goal is and how you reach to obtain it. But there is a difference between being successful and being great, even within your own context. And I think plenty of people settle for being successful and don't move towards being great.
Agreed. But again, I don't know. I think that we live in a society that teaches us to strive to be successful. And I think that success is tied to things. And greatness, to me, with my perspective on what it means to be great at something, is a whole other level of something else that can be connected to success, but can also be mutually exclusive. I think success is something that's very personalized. For me, I think the problem is that as a society, we define success. I think we have a warped sense of what it means to be successful. We tie success to education. We tie success to the things that people have, the car that they have, the house that they have. When I think that it's situational, depending upon people's circumstances. Like, I know people who come out of horrible situations that they work at a fast food restaurant. I had a friend that works at a fast food restaurant. He goes to work every day. He can pay his bills and he can take care of his kids. That to me is successful because I know where he came from.
Okay.
And I think that I think that as a society and as a culture, we have to sort of be careful about how we define what it means to be a success and what it means to be great and what greatness is and what it means to achieve greatness.
I hear that. I don't think it's about society. I think it's about you as a person.
Yeah.
I can get on board with society having to be careful, but I think people shrink themselves, not so much about society, but about being comfortable in different places. And I'm not taking away from your man or what he did, and I do think that's successful. But I think the opposite side of that is people, to me, settle. And they settle in a lot of places. I'm not talking about the man who's been struggling to get where they want to go and they finally get to that and they provide for their family and all those different things. But I'm talking about the person who is like, okay, well, I could be this way physically, but I choose not to. Or I could be this way with my finances. I'm not saying riches and like material, but I'm talking about getting your financial house in order. I'm saying there is a difference to me between successfulness and gratefulness. And it's not so much just on society. It's based on how you embrace that definition yourself and what you decide is acceptable or unattainable for you.
Yeah, I think that. And don't. I think that there is, and this is not me pushing back, it's just a different perspective. I think that you can be successful. Being successful and achieving your maximum potential might be two different things. And I think that people can, it all depends on how you define what it means to be content. Is being content settling, or is being content being at peace? And some people settle for they found a space that is peaceful, that is peace. And just because they haven't achieved some maximum potential that they may have, it doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't successful. I think that those things can be mutually exclusive. I think that, you know what I mean? That's just my perspective.
Yeah, no. I think on that spectrum of success, what it comes down to a person when they ask themselves this question is, when you get to success, I'm not saying that you should just be chasing the carrot. And successful, whatever the definition is for you, if you actually take time to really define it, I think it's part of the problem. People don't really define it. You take time to define what it is for you actually, and you get there, and that's good. And for you, that might be looking different than it is for someone else. I'm also saying, though, that a number of people have an idea in their head, not because of society, about the maximum version of themselves that they choose to ignore because they just don't want to do what's necessary to get there, or they don't think it's possible. And they become content more so out of, well, I don't want to deal with the disagreement between myself and where I think I ought to be. So I got to find some way to stifle that voice. So that's what I do. Because when they don't stifle it, that's when they're depressed and anxious.
Yeah. I think that, again, it's all this notion of idea. I'm interested in your perspective and this notion of idea of there is this maximum potential that people choose not to pursue because they feel like it's not possible. That comes from some, this idea that I can't do it comes from somewhere. I don't know if the belief that I can't do something, I don't know if that is a choice. I don't know if that's a choice that people would willingly make. If they would willingly say, I choose not to believe that I can't do something. Something for whatever reason has hampered them into believing that there are certain things that they can't do or that they shouldn't do or that's just not worth doing. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know if this gets, again, here come the tentacles because, you know, it's interesting to see how, it's interesting to explore how our past experiences, how community, the families we come from, how all of these different things play an important part in past struggles, how all of these things play an important part in what motivates us to achieve. I read some interesting stuff just about, it was looking at family dynamics and looking at family dynamics of color. We're talking about how there's always one generation that goes above and beyond and supersedes and goes above and beyond the generation before. And then their kids don't do better than them. Their kids typically do a step lower. So as an example, you have a couple that they both grew up in poverty. They worked hard. One becomes a doctor and a lawyer. They have children. By this theory, their children don't go on to do as well as them or better. They actually go on to do worse. And there are these trends that we see. And the question is why. And it started looking at black families, and then it spread out to other families. And it was a trend that was seen amongst a lot of other families as well. And the question is, what's different? Struggle. That's the only thing that's one of the variables that, like, my drive and your drive is very different than my kids. Because we grew up and we came up a certain way. Like, we had to work a little bit harder. Because of our families, because of our environments, because of the environments we grew up in. There was something that pushed us and that motivated us. And then, maybe not specifically me and you, but people like us. Mm-hmm. That come from a certain place, that we bust our butts and we work hard. We have this, me and you both, it may be different, but there's something that we share. There is this, and it's something that I think that successful people and people who are great, we all share. We all have this thing that makes us crazy. That, like, we're too stupid to realize when we should quit. We don't know when we're defeated, and we refuse to be defeated. And we will go above and beyond and work hard and in ways that average people won't. That is a part of what has driven you to got to where you are. That is a part of what has driven me to got to where I am and a lot of other people who are quote-unquote like us. But the thing is that when we move forward and we achieve and we have children, what do? We give them all the things we never had. We don't want them to experience the same struggle that we did. And the debate in a lot of circles is, does that make our children soft? Is it that struggle and that grind that pushes us when tragedy happens. It's funny, this last weekend, drove to Columbus. I told you earlier, my car broke down. I didn't cry. I literally was stranded in the middle of nowhere, and I figured it out. I didn't get upset. I didn't cry. You just figure stuff out. When you're used to grinding, you figure it out. That's how we grew up. No matter how bad it looks, you may get mad, you may get cursed, you may even cry, but then you just figure it out. I was talking to my daughter on the phone while I was walking back to the closest city. She's like, how are you not crying right now? I was like, what? You just figure it out. That is what we do. That is what successful people do. That's what people who have chased greatness all of their lives have done. You just figure out how to defy the it's something that I say in group. I lead a trauma group and a mindfulness DBT group. And when we talk about issues, we always talk about how hard life is. And I always look at them and I say, we can do hard. You've done hard before. Don't tell me that life is hard. You've done hard before. All of us in this room, we've all done hard before. We've experienced hard things and we came out the other end not smelling like smoke. You can do hard. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be upset. But don't tell me that you can't do hard because you've done hard before. We go through all of our experiences and how hard they were, and you're still sitting in front of me, so you can do hard. That's how we grew up. And that is a part of what, that's why I ask, is struggle necessary for people to be great? I heard Joe Rogan say once, all the people that he know are successful have experienced some major tragedy in their life.
Well,
go ahead.
I have some. I'm going to come back to the struggle thing for a while, but I want to just point out a couple things. I think, you know, it's an interesting point going to the conversation about people that are able to accumulate more than what they grew up in, and then the kids that come after them might be not as successful as they are. And I was listening to something that said some significant percentage of people in general in the United States are going to be accumulate less wealth than their parents did overall, which was kind of astounding to me when I read it. I don't really have any thoughts on any factors of why that is, but just hearing it was astounding. But I think the other thing when it comes to the success, to me, it's not so much just about, as you're saying, not so much just about wealth either. So for example, you take someone who grows up and becomes successful. They have a job that makes, I don't know, let's say it even makes six figures. But they took that job because somebody connected them to that job when they were in college. And then they continued to do that job because they didn't want to lose it. They became successful in that career. And they're good at it because they're good at, you know, whatever they commit to. But it has nothing to do with their passion, nothing to do with their actual strengths, nothing to do with their kind of God-given abilities. And that's why they haven't reached their potential, because they are not in line. And then when you ask them why they've done anything they've done in their life, they'll look back and say, well, it was because of this. And then I started, and they'll have no real reason. That everything will be fine because they'll be making the money.
Yeah.
But they have no real reason why they've done any of it in the first place. And I think sometimes when you think about struggle and how struggle plays a part, is you have a reason. Like, the reason might be, that's the motivator, is that I need to get out of this situation, which causes you, your brain to get very creative about how to get out of the situation.
Yeah.
And then maybe you get, you might start with one thing and say, oh, this is the answer. But then you get creative about how you use it, and it becomes all of your passion and talents get, you know, integrated into that. And I also don't think, you know, I think that obviously there are some systematic things that make it easier for people to get higher status wealth-wise. I'm not even wealth-wise. I'll say, because I think there's a difference between wealth and these material things and what high income producing people do that don't really have wealth. And so that's another story and whole conversation. But I think when it comes to just building overall, there are situations where someone has been able to identify at an early age, this is what I have a passion for, even though they come from resources, and they dig into that passion, and that's how they become great, whether money's attached or not. Now, of course, a lot of things are usually involved. If you think about, you know, there's I was watching on Showtime, The One and Done. It was about Ben Simmons, and, you know, his father was played overseas and played basketball, and he had resources, but they showed him when he was like 12. And like, they said, like, what's your goal? Oh, my goal, he said it confidently, is to be in the NBA. So like, from an early age, even with all the resources he had, it's not so much just the resources, even though obviously the resources have something to do with it. It's, he knew that was the thing he wanted to do. You know, his passion was directly attached to it, and he had the benefit of all the resources around it.
Yeah.
That is what I think sometimes is missing, where people can be successful and not be great.
Yeah. I like that. Something that I talk about a lot is, what is your why? I think there has to be a why. I think there has to be a why that drives you to, that drives us all to conquer something that seems insurmountable. Whether it be addiction, whether it be infidelity, what is your why? You know what I mean? Like, there has to be a why to keep you faithful. There has to be a why to conquer your addiction. Like, I see people who have, who are 6, 7, 8 times, they've relapsed and they're back again. And it's like, I'm like, and they've never had a why. Because my kids, because I want my kids back. Like, there has to be, I think there has to be what you're talking about, this why that separates somebody just, that's, there is a why, I think, that drives people and that separates achievement from success. Greatness, we'll talk about in a second, is, to me, is something in its own stratosphere that is mutually, that can be mutually exclusive from and is separate from achieving some. There is achievement, there is success, and then there is greatness. Mm-hmm. And a part of that is, do you have a why? And what is that why? Yeah. To me. Again, station identification. You are listening to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman, Dr. Keelan Henson, again on WMUL 88.1 FM on your dial. And here, this is Brother to Brother, where we talk about mental health, love, relationship, attachment, community needs, pop culture, and everything else in between. And today we are talking about, we are setting the stage for a series that we plan to have in the next few weeks. And that foundation of that series will be greatness, this idea of success and greatness. And for now, we're just teasing apart the basic idea of, what does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to achieve something? What does it take to achieve something? What does it take to be successful? What does it take to be great? What does it mean, and what does it take to be great, truly, truly great at something? So what are your thoughts on greatness? What is the difference between being successful and being great to you?
Well, the difference between being successful and being great is repetition, practice, focus, and intentionality. You can, to be successful is going to require some of that. You know, you're going to have to be intentional to go ahead and complete whatever task is in front of you to be successful, but to be great. And on a, just as an example, I mean, that means you are, think of yourself as a budding plant, and you can grow to different levels. If you are great at the end of your spud life or whatever plant life looks like, you've grown to the full height. You might, you know, grow and actually be a plant, have a couple leaves and flowers and look good to other people, and that's success. But great is when someone measures you and say, you know what, you actually have grown to the full measure of what you were supposed to be as a plant. But in order for you to do that, it's not going to be just as natural as it is with the plant. For us, we have to do things to grow. You can't just, okay, I'm successful now. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to continue to do my thing, hold on to my normal stuff, and I understand stuff gets in the way. But anybody who's great has to progress and do things intentionally to grow. You don't just assume I'm going to grow because time continues.
Yeah. My answer to that question I will admit it's biased and sounds a bit bad, probably. I think people, I reserve great the term greatness for people and not necessarily for a skill or what they do. You can be, it's weird for me, you can be the greatest basketball player, like nobody can beat you, okay? But this is, I have always, and this is before we even, you even brought this up to talk about this, I have always reserved greatness. Greatness for me is tied to whatever your thing is. Does it make the world a better place, and do you make people better? I have always thought that if no matter how good you are at what you do, if you as a, not you, I'm saying if people aren't, if you're not helping somebody in the process, can you truly be great? All of the people that I truly admire, that are great people, have in some way, shape, form, or fashion tried to make the world a better place or tried to make other people better. To me, that is how I define greatness. Like this notion or idea of sacrificing yourself or using your skill or using your platform. Michael Jordan, from I don't know what he does behind closed doors. It's why LeBron will always be my GOAT. Because to me, he's one of the best basketball players in the world. What makes him great is everything that he does, how he uses his platform, how he uses his money to enrich the lives of other people. I never saw Jordan do that when he played. Jordan will never be my GOAT. I don't care how many 30-point games he's had. I don't care who can't beat him on earth. He will never, ever be my GOAT. Excuse me. He'll never be my GOAT because of that. That is what makes Muhammad Ali great to me. It wasn't right. Just that he was the best, one of the best boxers that we've ever seen. It was the stance that he took. It was the sacrifice that he made and the stance that he took during the Vietnam War. Like, to me, that is what defines greatness. And that is sort of, that's weird. It's weird to say I hold myself to that standard. But like, I try to define myself by, have I helped anybody?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that's an admirable standard, and I think plenty of people will use that metric, and I don't have anything against that metric. I guess what I would add to that though is, you know, I don't think LeBron is the GOAT, but I respect LeBron and what he's done.
Blasphemy.
You
know what I'm saying?
I respect LeBron and what he's done, particularly what he's done for the community. And he couldn't have done the things that he's done for community unless he was great at that particular skill. And the other thing I would say to that is there's I think people that contribute to others are best for society. They're definitely good humans, even though I don't like using good or bad humans, because I think we all have good and bad nature. So I don't even really like that so much, even if somebody's contributing, because that person you found to be a great contributor, you probably can find some dirt on them. And depending on what it is, that could be a dirt that leads them to fall from grace. But what I will say with contributions is that in order for this person, I think, in order for a person to contribute on that level, they have to have created and cultivated something to a level of greatness so they can have that type of autonomy with their money and time to do that. There's something based in that. He wouldn't even be in a great conversation unless he had this skill that led him to this platform.
I agree. Like I said, and I think that it's just an issue of semantics. There's certain words I just don't use unless you do certain things. You had to be the best at what you did.
Yeah.
That's how I think about it. You're the absolute best at dribbling a ball or singing or engineering or whatever. You had to be the best at what you did to put you on a platform and give you the opportunity to fall into that great category. You know what I'm saying? Like, when we think about people who are great, everybody that comes to my mind, if we're thinking about inviting people on this show, the only thing I can think of is, who have you inspired? Who have you helped?
Right. And well, even with that, like, I don't want people to think that, oh man, boy, this guy, his standards are, I mean, I do have some high standards, but the thing is, greatness can be individual to that person and definitely is based on their particular potential. I use somebody like LeBron, who I do think he's great. You know, I don't think he's a GOAT. That don't mean I don't think he's great. So, but like, when we use somebody like LeBron, I'm using him as an example because he has harnessed his potential, but it doesn't have to be LeBron. It could be Mother Teresa. It could be the Dalai Lama. But all those people, what did they do? They really embraced whatever it is they're good at. Now, that might have resulted in helping others, but they embrace who they are, and a skill set is usually involved in some level with that. And I think it does involve skills because people say, oh, you got raw talent. Nobody who's great goes off just raw talent, in my opinion. Even if it is about, we think about people who we would, because I was thinking about people also, like if I was trying to think about somebody who's a philanthropist or somebody who's been great at doing that, there's still all these other skill sets that are involved in that. They involve a lot of things for you to grow and be able to give on this larger level. You don't just do that. You don't just wake up and do that. You got to do some things practically and intentionally to do that.
Yeah, that's I blame the term that we hear in school all the time, smart people. You know, like when we talk about people being smart, it's almost as if they just woke up like this. Like, everybody has to read. Everybody has to study. No one wakes up with just knowledge in their head. You know what I'm saying? To some degree, everybody has to work. You know, now, some things may come easier than others. Some people may have others. Some people may be more talented and process information faster. But the idea, notion that people who are really good at something, they just have a, I agree with you, they just have a talent and they just woke up like this. You know, I think a lot of times, like I said, we see the end result, but we don't see what's in the sauce.
Yeah.
Like I said, everybody like hot dogs, but don't nobody want to know how they made. Everybody want to be great, but do you really want that smoke? Like, do you really, like, do you, like, I know a kid right now. His name is Amari Smith. Shout out Amari. He got an athletic scholarship to Concord. Shooting on Christmas. Bro, shooting on Christmas Day. Do you want, like, to truly be good at something, do you really want that smoke? Do you really want to do, I know people who talked about missing their prom because they was working out.
Yeah.
Are you willing to make the sacrifices necessary? Everybody want to be good at something. Everybody want to be great. Everybody want a nice house and a nice car. We all want the spoils of victory. But the question is, do you want to go in the trenches and do what it takes? And most importantly, do you know what it takes to be great? Have you ever seen someone work that hard? You know what I'm saying?
Right. And even taking that just a step further is, not only do you know what it takes to be great, because I think many people know what it takes to put in work to do things, but have you found something worth being great at?
That's true. Do you have to be passionate? The question is, do you have to have a passion for it?
Well, I think we both have met people that, well, I don't know if they have passion or not, but met people that have seemed to be like great at a lot of things. So that makes me think like, well, you probably don't have to have a passion. If in your mind you think I have to just produce excellence, then you might. But I think
Something is driving you. Not to cut you off, but even in that instance, something is driving that person. Now, what it is, we may never know, but you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but I think in the instance of when you want it to be productive, having a passion is going to help you because as you go back to that why, having the why is what gets you through all of the hard times that go along with it. So we just use something like a common thing that people have. You know, people want to be healthy. You know, they want to get their fitness to a certain way. But, you know, you're into that when you do your fighting and whatnot and all of that discipline it takes. You really have to have a good why to stay to those things. Like, the key is discipline, but discipline is going to work better when you have a real good connection and reason to why you're doing it. Like, people don't enjoy practice. The reason they do practice is they want to do a championship.
Yeah. Another good question is your why stronger than your fear of failure?
Well, that's a good, yeah. That's what I was getting to when I said some people, not so much about wealth, they're sitting over there in the success camp and they could be great. And that great could look different than what they're at now, not necessarily financially, but they could be really going into like happiness and what they've been created to do. But there's like, well, yeah, but then I got to go and after they've been going back to the story, like they got this job from their buddy, they've been doing good at it because they do good things, they do things well, and then they've been in it for a while. But I really always wanted to do this. But if I do that, I got to take a risk. Now I got these kids, I got this. I'm not saying there's things you should be irresponsible, but the fear is this is something I'm never going to be able to overcome. What if I, and that fear train, it just keeps going, keeps talking to you, keeps telling you all the reasons you can't do something, and then you just don't do it.
This is interesting. For me, I don't know about you. I just knew I wanted to be. I never in a million, and like I said, I'm not saying that what I do or what we do is just so astronomically amazing, okay? But I never in a million years could see myself doing what I was doing 20 years ago. Like, how can you do something that you can't even fathom, that you can't even see yourself doing? You can't even fix your brain to even think, to even imagine that you could even do it. Like, I just kind of fell into whatever it is that we do. And like I said, it's not that I'm not saying it's so great, but I never in a million years would imagine that I would have a PhD. In a million years. And I think that for a lot of people, that level of greatness, they can't even, it's that same situation, you know, dreaming big and like truly seeing yourself in that space. Like, yeah. I think that is probably the first and largest hurdle before fear even kicks in. Can I even see myself as a professional basketball player? Or everybody, like a lot of these people that make it, like they can see themselves in that space. I want to be a professional basketball player. You got to be there and see yourself in that space before this fear. And then once you jump that hurdle, then this fear block comes. Can I do it? Am I afraid of failure?
Right.
I think most people don't even get over the first hurdle.
That's the key point. Now I'm thinking about my childhood life and see, that's where environment could come in, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Like I only had one goal when I was a kid, and that was to be an NBA player. And you know, hey, that didn't work out. But there are lots of things that I learned from basketball to help me where I'm at now. But I had no other real visions. And I think about when you said like, oh, I never really pictured myself with a PhD. Shoot, I never pictured myself with a bachelor's degree before it happened. And when it started happening, I think what helped push me through that whole process was I was like, oh, well, what am I going to do if I get a degree? I'm going to be a teacher. Granted, I had never taught anybody. I didn't know how it was going to go. I wasn't thinking professor. That wasn't even in my mind. I was like, oh, I'm going to teach high school students. And my goal at that time was, because I had been coaching high school students, I mean, coaching students, not students, but people overall, like little kids. And I was like, oh, I just want to help inspire and motivate. And the way that I thought I could do that was teaching. I didn't pick teaching because I was like, oh, yeah, this is the profession. I said like, oh, this is what I like to do. I like to inspire. How can I do that? Okay, this way. And that's what kind of drove me through the whole process of school, which before that was a real challenge for me. So it started with, okay, this is what's going to get me through. And I think going back to your point, sometimes it is hard for people to envision it. And that really makes a difference. When I watched, I studied greatness, right? Like, well, not formally, like, you know, PhD style, but yeah. I watched a lot of videos about people that I have been successful in different ways. You know, lately it was that one and done with Ben, but when I'm watching it, I'm looking at like, what was their mindset? What are the psychological components? I'm digesting it. I'm thinking about, you know, what are those things and how I could bring those things to the world? And what I'm noticing is one of the key ingredients is, yes, seeing it yourself and then people around you seeing it. Like in the case of Ben Simmons, for example, obviously it was easy for his dad to see it because his dad had that. But once that happened, you know, for anybody who's really been in sports with their kid, you got to, the whole village got to support the kid. Like he's on travel teams, he's on AAU, like that requires parents making some sacrifices and other people besides this kid believing in the vision. You believe in the vision too. And that creates a stronger foundation. Many people don't have that support or have opposite things in their head. Like someone telling them, you're no good, you're bum, you ain't going to make it, you're this. And that just makes stronger sharks in their head that they constantly have to fight that they may or may not be aware of.
Yeah. That's interesting. I was just thinking about this, man. we all, a part of what we do is we try to identify the ones that could be great and we give them special attention. And I wonder what happens to the kids on the fringes, which is, I think, what happened to me, which is a larger part of what I think happened to my son. He had a lot of gifts as an athlete, but wasn't identified as one of the great ones. Mm-hmm. And when you're not, you don't get special attention. You don't get invited to the extra practices. You don't get to get, like I said, because they get all those good, really good kids who are great, and they all practice, and iron sharpens iron. So the best right. are always practicing with the best and working out with the best. And the question is, what happens to the people who are on the fringes? You know?
Yeah.
Which is why people like me become, and people like you, like we go back to our old neighborhoods, and people are surprised.
Right.
Because like, we wasn't number one or two in the class. We just flew under the radar, and we never really got special attention, and people didn't pay attention to us. And somehow, we became something so much more than they thought. Because, like, number one and number two are the ones that go on to be doctors and lawyers, right? And go on to help people and do something great. Not the guy who was, like, who remembers number 87?
Right. And I think, but your point is so important for people to get. If you're trying to cultivate, well, not with pressure, but you're trying to cultivate the passion that your kid has, and you want to help them create their form of passion or greatness. If you take some time to watch just a couple of these things, there's another thing on Showtime. I think it's called It's in the Water. It's a documentary about PG County where KD came from.
That's a really good documentary. Yeah.
And but it's not just KD. Like if you think you look at the AAU teams, KD was on. You have Michael Beasley, a couple other guys. Like everybody, like a lot of people from there went to the NBA. And it's like iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Like these kids, even if you go back to LeBron, okay, so on his team, you know, nobody that was on that high school team that he was on went to the NBA, but they grew up together, they were playing together, and they were playing at an elite level. And that being surrounded by greatness or people that are really good is going to accelerate you.
Yeah. It, you know, this makes me think about a lot of research in education, culture and education stuff. Like, not just culture and education, but just education in general. This inclusive learning. Kids that may have, you know, what a lot of research shows is that kids that have disabilities or may be dealing with some issues and disabilities, if you put them in the class, don't separate those kids out. But those who are on the fringes but have some disabilities, being in the class, for lack of a better term, putting them in just class with everybody else as opposed to separating them out, it pulls them along, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. It helps them develop mentally, intellectually, and emotionally and socially. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, being if their disabilities and developmental issues aren't severe,
right?
Why separate them out? You know, I've always wondered, you know, my kids were in tag, you know, talented and gifted. Like, they identify these kids, and then they get all these kids together, and then they pull them out, and they have all this extra help. And I'm thinking, how many other kids could benefit from this?
Right.
Like, why just keep all these special techniques or whatever you're doing, and this special pedagogy, why just give this to the kids that you've identified as special? How many other kids in that classroom could benefit from this, and it could help them grow and evolve and take them to another level? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to education, that's a battle. But again, back to the point, iron sharpens iron. You know what I'm saying? That is definitely, dang, we up on time. Iron sharpens iron. But again, we're teasing apart, for those that are listening, we're teasing apart this idea of what does it mean, success and great, to prep us for other shows coming along. Because a part of what a great idea that Dr. Chapman had was for those who are out there listening, for those who know people, we want to have people on who have achieved some level of success or greatness in their life. And we like to pick their brains and talk to them and talk about what are some of the things you did, what are your mindset, what are some of the trials and tribulations, and what are some of the hurdles you had to jump when you faced adversity. What is it that got you through adversity? Because I think that is a big part of being successful and achieving greatness, and is sort of how do you deal with adversity? You know,
yeah.
When things get rough, what are the things that you do to push through? And why didn't you quit? And you said we both have played with this idea before as well. Is there a certain level of narcissism that is necessary in order to be really good at something?
Yeah. And to that point, you know, so we're going to develop this series, and it's still a work in progress, but let's say maybe it's 10 sessions or 10 radio shows with it. We'd like to bring in diverse panelists. And you can reach out to us. Dr. Hinton will give you the email or either on Facebook that you can reach out to us. And I also want you to be mindful that we're still thinking about it and talking about it. But from my standpoint, I want to know when you email us and talk to us, I want you to justify your greatness. And that's not me judging you, but I want to know not just that you're successful, on what standard you're measuring your greatness, so we know what we're bringing to our audience.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So again, we are up on time, but we always thank those who continue to support the show. Again, if you have questions, comments, suggestions, if you would like to be a part of the show and to join us in this conversation of greatness, if you'd like to talk about some of your experiences, and again, you don't have to be. We're not saying you have to be a millionaire. We're not saying you have to have a doctorate or be an engineer, or just if you've done something in life that you are proud of, that you think makes you successful and knocks on that door, you're in that room of you think what you would define as achieving greatness, let us know. Come on and talk about it, because a part of what we're trying to do is we're trying to see what are the common characteristics and capabilities, like what is necessary to, you know, what are some of the things that people who have done something amazing or great, what are some of the things that they have in common, you know? And more importantly, maybe this is something we could take a step further. What is something you have in common? And is this something that can be taught? Or is this something that some people are just born with? Like for me, it's weird to hear my kids talk about me. It's really embarrassing and weird, but I'm just wired differently and I don't know why. And I have no idea why. I will read, I will study all the, and what's interesting is I always say that, you know, whatever the universe is giving me a balance, there are these talents that I have, and with these talents came a whole lot of disabilities on the other side. Like, so I balance a lot of issues and a lot of disabilities, but there, for whatever reason, I'm just really good at certain things, but my drive is unbelievable. Like, yeah. You're not going to outwork me. I don't care who you are. I might lose, and I'm perfectly okay with that, but you're not going to outwork me. I will read all day and all night. I won't sleep. I will do whatever it takes to achieve whatever that is. I'm just wired that way in anything that I am dedicated to, for whatever reason. And it's interesting to hear my kids talk about seeing the process, because remember, I went back to school again at 43. So they're like, it's really bizarre to see you like in this space, driven in this way. You know what I'm saying? So I think like that doesn't, I'm not saying that, I'm just saying that you, to some degree, like people who have done, like who have sort of achieved these things, who have achieved something, we're all wired, for whatever reason, we're all wired in the same way. It manifests differently, but part of our wiring is the same. So I think that that's why this project is so important.
Yeah. One of my goals, you know, this is something that I said, like I'm a student of greatness. And, you know, I do have there is a difference to me between greatness and success. So I will be thinking about that as you come to us for the panel. But I want to hear what people have that they think that they can give to the rest of the audience, because my goal, one of my, I guess, goals is for as many people as can be great, for them to become great. I really think, and this might, Dr. Hinton might not agree with me on this, I feel like there's a whole bunch of people walking around in this world that are living subpar, and I don't necessarily mean just about materials. I mean subpar in their potential. They are a shadow. They're like just a popcorn seed of their potential, and that they could be awoken and not for my good, but for the good of everybody else, man. Like if imagine that if everybody was actually living their best life, and I don't mean materialized, I mean potential, like whatever you were created to do, you were doing that thing and you were giving that thing to the rest of the world. What kind of world would we have? Be an awesome world. That's yeah. The type of world I'd like to see.
See, we get into a whole lot of other stuff now, because the question is, are there things that happen that play an important part in why we have all this untapped potential in the world? Do we waste talent as a society, as an educational system? Have we wasted talent? Do we waste talent? You know, is something that we have discussed. And when we talk about culture and education, when we talk about culture and education, we talk about that. So, again, I think it's complicated. I think it's who we are and who we become from an identity perspective. I think is there's a mixture between what we do and how hard you work and environment as well, which is why I said success can be defined very differently depending upon who you are, where you live, environmental constraints, how hard you're willing to work. Like, it's just, it's complicated. But I agree with you. There are people out there that have this potential to be something different. I want to say more or less something different than what they are, but they never try, they never attempt. And the question is why? So, good stuff. Again, for those that have questions, comments, or suggestions, if you'd like to participate in the show, in this next panel, be on the show, be interviewed, or maybe be on a panel to discuss some of these things that we want to talk about. Again, you can contact us at B2B Psych. That's B, the number 2B, PSYCH, B2B Psych at gmail.com. You can contact us on our Facebook pages. Again, I'm Keelan Hinton. That is Dr. Nate Chapman. As we always say, and again, this goes in line with what I always end the show with. You know, at the end of the day, graveyards are full of regret and potential. I truly believe that everybody, the people that you love, make sure that they know you love them. And absolutely positively, what matters is your why to me. Make sure that you are doing something, not for the money, not for the fame, not for the fortune, not for the car, for the house, because when you die, nobody will care. All they will care about and will ask is, did you make the room a better room? And I truly, truly mean that when I say that. Are you doing something in this life that sets your soul on fire and that you are passionate about? Because at the end of the day, we all got to take that train ride and our ticket going to get punched and we all going to die. At the end of the day, did you do something that set your soul on fire? And did you make the room a better room? Did you make the world a better place? What is the imprint that you left on others when you left here, when you leave here? Because nobody, I've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse. So it's important to think about how we define success, how we define greatness, and what is it that drives and motivates us as we try to achieve the things that we try to achieve in life? So, again, we thank you all who continue to listen, who continue to support us. Peace and many blessings to you. And until we meet again, Dr. Chapman will take us out.
So I guess I just got some questions for y'all. I'm glad we talked about this because this is my jam. Like, I get excited about this stuff, as maybe y'all can tell. But I think it's just because that's what I want. I want to see a world where there's no such thing as untapped potential, because potential is overflowing. And so I guess I'll leave you with some questions to ask yourself and really, really think about. If you work, you have a job right now, ask yourself this question. Why do I work at this job? Why are you there? If you struggle with that question, I mean, your answer might be because I need money. I gotta, you know what I'm saying? I need this job to make this money. I get it. Respect. But I also want you to ask yourself the question, like, how is my purpose in life attached to my job? And if it's not attached to your job, that might be okay because you need to make money. What about the other areas of your life? What do you do with your free time if you got free time? Watching Netflix? No judgment. I do that too. But is there any purpose in the things you do with your leisure time? This big question about why you do what you do is an important question. We basically live our life in zombie mode. We go to work, we come home, we eat our food, turn on the TV, play with our kids, go to bed, get up again, do it all over again. like a zombie. I'm just asking you not to be a zombie. Know why you're doing things and be intentional about what you do. All right, folks. We'll talk to you next week. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
From the center of the Thundering Herd.